Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'm John Noonan of Azure Marketing, and I'm excited to have Senior Technical Evangelist Keith Mayer with us to discuss DevOps in the cloud. Keith's going to start out with a presentation and a hands-on demo, and we'll leave 10 minutes or so at the end of the session for Q&A. So feel free to submit any questions along the way, and we'll answer as many as we can at the end of the session. Also, we'll be making slides and recording available via email. And with that, I'll hand it over to Keith.
Great. Thanks so much, John. Welcome, everyone, to our webinar today. We're going to have a lot of fun over the next hour talking about accelerating DevTest and DevOps from within your organizations by leveraging the cloud. And in particular, we'll talk about a couple key technologies up in the cloud, Microsoft Azure, our overall cloud platform, and then Visual Studio Online, working with Azure. Visual Studio Online is our cloud source control solution, all running up in the cloud. Before we get started, I just wanted to give you a little bit of background on myself. I, like many of you on the call today, have been an IT professional for years and years. And I've worked on worked in several different capacities as a network engineer, a project team manager, IT manager, as well as a consultant and trainer out in the field. I've really had the pleasure of working with IT professionals, thousands of IT professionals and organizations worldwide over my career. And in my current role as an evangelist, I'm really an advocate for you as IT professionals in helping you learn about our cloud and enterprise infrastructure solutions. So certainly moving forward beyond events like our event today, you can also find me online on my blog at keithmayer.com, on Twitter at Keith Mayer, or if you have more detailed one-on-one technical questions that you'd like to discuss about taking what you see here in our one-hour webinar and applying it towards potential opportunities inside your organization. Every week I also have a block of time on my calendar that I set aside for office hours with IT professionals in the United States. So if you're in the U.S., you want to hook up 1 week for office hours virtually, we can certainly do so. You can go to the link that I have listed at the bottom of the slide to sign up for office hours going forward. The DevOps conversation, or DevTest, that we'll be talking about today is really a component of our overall devices, services, and hybrid cloud strategy. And the goal is to provide IT organizations, IT professionals, and developers with consistency in determining how best to leverage cloud technologies in ways that are impactful to your environment so that as your developers move forward developing applications, they can develop those business applications across a variety of devices, not just Windows devices like Windows Phone and Surface 2 or Surface Pro or other Windows 8.1 devices, but also iOS or Android devices too, where our cloud solutions are not about running only Windows applications. They're open source. In fact, in both your on-premises data center using Windows Server and our Hyper-V virtualization layer, we can run Windows Server and Linux as well as a variety of other open source workloads side by side as virtual machines. And then certainly in leveraging Microsoft Azure as our cloud service, you can run those same virtual machines or cloud applications on a variety of different backends up on Azure as well. So whether your organization builds applications on Windows platforms or Oracle or Linux or other open source technologies, Azure is a great platform for you to be able to leverage to help accelerate through the delivery of new solutions in your environment. We actually battle test Azure ourselves as our cloud platform. We not only provide Azure as a platform for you to use for running your applications, but we also use it for running our own applications too. So when you're accessing services like OneDrive or Bing or Xbox Live or Office 365, all of those services are running on the Azure platform too. And that allows us to take advantage of Azure as a very scalable, global platform, but at the same time, it also allows us to collect key utilization metrics around manageability, security, performance, and whatnot, so that we can bake updates, future feature releases and whatnot for Azure and for Windows Server on-premises back into the product releases and provide them back to your organization. Now, part of our hybrid cloud solution of leveraging Azure and on-premises and a variety of devices together also is in providing a unified set of components for managing and securing and developing and deploying across these various technologies. Because obviously, as an organization, you're not going to be too attracted to having different tools for managing each platform independently. And so, in terms of Azure, as our hybrid cloud solution, along with all of the other components we've talked about, the great thing is that as an organization, if you're currently leveraging Active Directory for securing your on-premises applications, you can continue to leverage those with Azure as well. Same thing for System Center. From a systems management standpoint, System Center can manage servers and applications and workloads, regardless if they're running in your data center or in our data center on the Microsoft Azure platform. For device management, managing mobile devices, phones and tablets and whatnot, Windows Intune is a comprehensive cloud-based solution that allows you to manage those applications being deployed across all of those mobile devices, whether they're running Windows or iOS or Android, as one central device management tool. PowerShell can be leveraged as one universal automation component. We'll talk about some others. We're not restricted just to PowerShell, but PowerShell becomes one common framework when we're talking about going across all of the various stacks. And then Visual Studio and TFS for developers and program teams and application teams to be able to design and develop and manage application deployments. And we'll take a look at Visual Studio Online today. So all of these components together really give us a comprehensive solution that can help with a variety of workloads. And the workload we're going to be talking about today are workloads that more relate to the development cycle. And as organizations have begun moving forward and looking at how to streamline the development and release management cycle of taking new applications and getting them into production in a fast and reliable way, and baking all of the feedback from users and from the operations team into future releases, the term DevOps has gained momentum over the last 2 to 3 years, really, in several organizations around the world for helping to develop that streamlined process. And so the first question that a lot of organizations ask, if you haven't yet begun investigating DevOps, is what is DevOps? What's it all about? With a name like DevOps, it opens itself up to some confusion, like is DevOps a new role within IT? You know, should we be hiring a DevOps engineer, for instance? And the consensus is that DevOps really is not a specific role, but instead a motion that's pervasive across all of the IT professionals and all of the developers that are involved in designing, deploying, and operating applications. So it's not a new role. From an IT operations perspective, a lot of people look at DevOps and ask, you know, is it some sort of new tool or set of tools? You know, is Azure all about giving me DevOps in my organization? And DevOps is not a tooling either. There's certainly a collection of tools and technologies, Azure being one of them, that can help organizations accelerate moving towards a DevOps, moving down that path of a DevOps direction. But it's not just a set of tools either. DevOps is really more about being a culture of people and processes and tools or products that can be used collaboratively between the traditional development and ops silos that exist in a lot of IT organizations to help them work together for delivering solutions quickly and delivering solutions reliably to the base of end users. And so when we think about DevOps, it's really a methodology that organizations are adopting to provide a continuous cycle for delivery of solutions and enhancements to those solutions. Like many methodologies, DevOps has a series of stages that I've listed along the bottom, planning the application, the solution, where a design team is doing ideation and prototyping, and then moving that prototype application into more formal development and testing, where the prototype can be converted into working code that can be reviewed and tested and refined. At some point, that working software has to be moved into production. That's where release comes in, and the various aspects of release management, of being able to not only release reliably the first iteration of an application, but reliably release updates to that application to add new functionality or perhaps correct some issues that the first release had, for rolling forward to new updates, and also being able to roll back to prior updates, prior releases of that application if there's any issues with the new update. And then certainly once we move working software into production, being able to operate that software in production, running that software, monitoring it to ensure health, providing users with secure access to it, making sure that the application is scaled well from a performance standpoint, all fall under the operate stage. But unlike many other methodologies, DevOps doesn't roll through these four stages and then you're done, your solution is deployed. No, DevOps is a continuous process of building your solutions and then measuring and learning. One of the key aspects that DevOps embodies is providing shared visibility across the solution being developed and deployed to the entire DevOps team around that solution. All of the developers and all of the IT pros, all the operations team, so that as the solution progresses through these stages, the team can work collaboratively and not feel like there's some sort of a drastic handoff that occurs between develop, test, and release that can counter the quick delivery and reliability of that application in many cases. So from a DevOps standpoint, DevOps is all about getting solutions to our users more quickly and more reliably by working together with a team of people, a set of processes, and a set of tools that support that concept all together. So once organizations have a concept of what DevOps is about, a lot of times the development team or the IT operations team asks, well, why do we need DevOps? Why not just continue doing things the way we are? We're happy with that. Well, from a business standpoint, there's lots of valid reasons for proceeding with DevOps, but from a business standpoint, a couple of the key reasons I've seen is that oftentimes within organizations, the business users are complaining or providing constructive feedback that it takes forever to get a new solution deployed and updated to the point where we can use it, and that oftentimes, once that solution is deployed, because the business is evolving so quickly, requirements are changing at a pace that's unheard of in the past, and using traditional routes for deploying solutions, oftentimes by the time the solution gets deployed, it's no longer mapping to the needs of that portion of the business unit, of that business organization. And so DevOps is also about looking at solutions from a different standpoint. Instead of necessarily treating them as a large, monolithic software project, instead it's looking at the value components, the value that that application makes up, that that solution makes up, and thinking about ways of being able to deliver valuable aspects of that solution quickly to the users, and then through that continuous build, measure, learn approach, deliver on an ongoing basis additional value where you're adding in those other components over time to deliver more and more value to your users. A lot of you may be thinking at this point, if you're from a development team background, that DevOps sounds a lot like agile development. And you're not wrong in that, but it is very different. Some organizations have characterized DevOps as extending agile development from just the development team into the entire team, including operations as well, or finishing what agile development started by encompassing the entire life cycle of that solution. So that brings us to Azure. So what does Azure offer us in this world of helping DevOps or dev test environments as a workload? Well, one of the key aspects that Azure offers is, as a cloud platform, it itself is very agile in being able to spin up and manage and provide shared visibility to components in your organization very quickly. And unlike other cloud platforms, Azure is much more than just running virtual machines in a public cloud. We can certainly do that. We have infrastructure as a service as one of the computing models that Azure supports. And infrastructure as a service is great for being able to run existing apps that are already virtualized, maybe not run, instead of running them on premises, you can move those virtualized apps up to Azure IaaS very quickly. It's also great for building new dev environments, because oftentimes dev environments that developers are using to build software involve a set of tools that take a long time to manually configure and get just right in your dev environment. So with Azure, you can have dev images that you spin up very quickly to provide developers with quick access to new dev environments, or have the ability to have several dev environments with different versions of tools or whatnot as needed by the solutions they're working on. But beyond just running VMs in the cloud, Azure also supports two other cloud models, platform as a service and software as a service. Platform as a service gives further agility to your development team so that as they're building applications, platform as a service provides them with a set of building blocks that provide key aspects of the plumbing of most applications so that your developers don't necessarily have to focus on writing the code that makes the application communicate and whatnot and provide security and identity management and all those pieces. Instead, for that basic plumbing, your development teams can take advantage of the Azure PaaS components to provide those key features, allowing your developers to focus their code time on writing the code that automates or programatizes the business logic that is unique to your organization or your solution. So they can optimize for the code they are writing, they're spending that time as wisely and as strategically as possible, instead of rolling their own plumbing through the applications, which happens in a lot of environments. The third cloud model that Azure supports is software as a service. And so software as a service provides us with the ability to package up and deploy very quickly a canned set of applications to users. With software as a service, we have Azure websites as one of the components that services this. Websites is kind of interesting because websites comes with a set of pre-built templates that allow you to build very quickly a variety of different website solutions, ranging from e-commerce solutions to blogging solutions to content management solutions, all from a base template. And that's the piece that falls more under that software as a service model. But websites itself can also be used for custom application development, for building and publishing your own custom web applications or web front ends to your applications very quickly using that same architecture. So websites kind of straddles platform as a service and software as a service. It can be used as a building block for custom applications, like platform as a service, or it can be used to host pre-built web templates for delivering a software solution very quickly to your users, like software as a service as the cloud model. Well, when we pull all of these components together, one of the important realizations that a lot of organizations have benefited from is that these cloud models that Azure supports are not siloed from one another. Instead, Azure provides you with the ability to very easily combine, mix and match these components together so that if you have existing applications that you wish to migrate to the cloud, You can migrate those perhaps initially, very quickly, as Azure virtual machines using infrastructure as a service. And then as your development teams continue to enhance and iterate through the releases that they're building of that application, they can begin looking for opportunities to wrap some of the platform as a service or software as a service capabilities around that application to gain speed from a development standpoint and gain reliability, because we all know a lot of times the least reliable code is the code that's in the plumbing of the application. If you're using tested building block solutions for that plumbing, it helps to increase the reliability of the overall solution. When we compare Azure then against the DevOps phases or stages that we talked about on the prior slide, what we see is that from a planning standpoint, Azure provides us with the ability to quickly spin up new development environments, new application environments, and have a consistent platform all the way from ideation and prototyping all the way through to full production release and operation of that application. And the great thing from a cost perspective is because Azure as a cloud platform is a pay-as-you-go on-demand model, you're only paying for as much you need from a resources standpoint across each of those phases. You can start very lean during the planning and development and testing stages and then begin to scale up without making code changes to your applications, your solutions, begin to scale up as you move into pilot and production where you're exposing that application to users. From a develop and test standpoint, we have the ability to spin up new dev environments super quick within a few minutes and integrate them with source control. The source control could be our own Visual Studio Online source control, or it could be a variety of different open source control avenues, repositories like Git or GitHub, or even an FTP site in a smaller shop could be used as a source control repository. For release management, Azure provides super fast roll forward and roll back. And in a moment, I'll show you how that works. And then once we've gotten to the point of running the application up on Azure, Azure provides us as a platform with a key set of consistent metrics that we can use across all stages of that application. And for even deeper insights, integrates with System Center and Visual Studio Online's application insights to give us even deeper metrics from within the application itself. So we can see things like how many fail errors are happening, what type of distribution of users we have that are accessing the application when performance issues are hitting our application or things of that nature that are very valuable for being able to determine how fast and how much to scale up by or scale down by, or what needs to change within an application to stabilize it. So all of these contribute to that shared visibility. Azure as a platform is something that can be exposed to your developer and IT operations teams to provide them with that consistent shared platform across all stages of a DevOps lifecycle. And as a cloud solution, it can really help to accelerate how quickly your organization is able to transform into a more DevOps-aligned organization. I talk with lots of enterprise organizations on a regular basis, and when we talk about DevOps, they all agree that DevOps sounds great, but using traditional on-premises tools, what I hear back from them is that many of them have said, well, in order to really embrace all of this from a time frame perspective, realistically talking about a couple years of time gradually moving the dial in our organization more and more towards DevOps. And a lot of that's because the tools and the infrastructure they're using doesn't allow them to save time and be able to turn things up very quickly with reliability. And that's where cloud platforms can help to really accelerate that progression towards being DevOps aligned. Well, we've been talking a bit about how Azure and Visual Studio Online work within an organization, can work within an organization to help transformed to DevOps. Let's see it in action. What I'm going to do is switch over to my lab environment, and I'll give that a moment to pop up in our live view. And I'm switching over so that we can take a look at these aspects together from a live lab environment. So what you should be seeing coming up on your screen is our Microsoft Azure web-based management portal. The Azure portal is one way of managing and interacting with Azure resources that are running in the cloud. It's a web-based portal. It's designed to be very easy to use, very intuitive. It's written in HTML5 and JavaScript, and so it's supported across a variety of devices. Any device that's running a modern browser with HTML5 and JavaScript generally works very well with this Azure portal. And you can see from a navigation standpoint, across the top we've got this black navigation bar, and it's got a few different elements on the top bar. If I click on my subscriptions pull down, for instance, you can see that the Azure portal allows me to have multiple subscriptions that I can switch between or see all at once. In an organization, in an IT organization, this multiple subscriptions capability is really useful, because what it allows you to do is build different subscriptions for either the various stages or the various solutions that are being built and delivered on Azure. Because costs roll up at a subscription level, it gives you then an easy way of being able to show back, or in some cases even charge back, those cloud costs to the appropriate team or business unit within your organization. So commonly I'll see organizations set up a subscription for their dev and test users, a subscription for their user accessibility or UAT testing, and then additional subscriptions for each production solution, so that as they move through the stages, they can allocate those solutions to the appropriate subscription and have them roll up. Gives you a lot of flexibility. In fact, speaking at a recent CIO event in the last 3 or 4 months, when I've spoken there with other CIOs, the key cost, the key metric, the key value that they saw in adopting the cloud in their organization was the ability to easily show back or bill back costs to various divisions within their organization. Because in the on-premises world, that's something that's very challenging to do. So we can set up multiple subscriptions. And from a developer standpoint then, if we wanted to set up a set of developer VMs that have all the tools built for them that they need inside their developer subscription, we have a couple choices. We can do that manually through the portal, and I'll show you how to do that in a moment, just by clicking and selecting the appropriate template and filling the information. But you can also automate all of that stuff. As we scroll down our left navigation bar, for instance, you'll see in our left navigation bar automation as a left panel choice. Automation allows us to build runbooks that automate spinning up, spinning down, provisioning or deprovisioning resources. So you don't have to do all of that manually. You can do it manually once or twice to get the hang of it, and then automate it so that it becomes something that can be dispatched with on demand. So let's do it the manual way first, and then we'll talk a little bit more about automation. So I'm going to click on my virtual machines page. And you'll see inside my subscriptions that I've currently selected, I've got a number of virtual machines that are currently provisioned. If I wanted to create a new dev environment that has all of my tools for my developers built into it, well, I can click on the bottom toolbar on the new button and build a new virtual machine. So I'll build a new virtual machine from our gallery of virtual machines. And what our gallery provides is a set of standard platform images. These platform images are running Windows Server or SharePoint or SQL Server pre-installed. But as you scroll down the list, you'll also see other platform images like pre-built versions of Oracle products, Oracle Linux, Ubuntu, CentOS, SUSE, a variety of different platforms that you can take advantage of. In addition, down in the lower left-hand corner of my page, if I click the MSDN, or Microsoft Developer Network, checkbox, we'll see an additional set of images show up in our list that are made available to MSDN subscribers, subscribers that are subscribing to MSDN for developer tools or platform tools. You'll see that we've got pre-built images for Visual Studio running on a variety of different operating systems. So we've got Visual Studio Ultimate 2013 that has all of the tools of the platform image prepackaged inside of it. Now keep in mind, Visual Studio itself is not just about building Windows applications. You can use Visual Studio for building applications across iOS or Android or open source applications or Java-based applications. In fact, as I'm traveling across the country, I commonly get feedback from developers that are writing on non-Microsoft platforms that they use Visual Studio because of the rich development environment it provides. So it's not just about developing Microsoft applications. Now, you may have, for your developers, your own pre-built developer images already, maybe that you run on premises today in your environment in a virtualized manner. The great thing about Azure is you can take those images and upload them to your Azure subscription. You'll notice on the Choose an Image page, down about a third of the way down the page on the left, is a My Images category that you can use to also select your own custom images. But for now, let's select one of our base images. So I'm going to select Visual Studio Ultimate 2013, and I'll click the Next button. On the next page, it'll ask me for the basic details around that virtual machine. Virtual machine name, so I'll call this KeithDev02. And then a tier of basic or standard. Standard, as a tier, gives you the ability to do load balancing and have multiple instances that your application is distributed across. But if you're just doing a basic dev environment, you can actually save a little bit of money by just going down for the dev environment into a basic tier. For that tier, after you've selected the tier for your virtual machine, you can also select how much to give your VM in terms of resources. So I'll select 2 cores and about 4 gigs of memory. You can go up or down based on your needs. And an initial username that will be provisioned inside the VM as the local administrative or root user that you're logging in with. So I'll just key in a username and a password that will be provisioned for that new username. I'll click the Next button. And then I'm prompted for some more specific details about how this virtual machine is going to interact with the Azure platform. So I'll say that I want to create a new cloud service that gives me a DNS name that I can use to access my virtual machine across the public internet. And it defaults to the same DNS host name as what the VM name will use. I can also specify where in the world I'd like my dev environment VM, my new VM, to be spun up in. This is actually interesting. We've got today, we've got 10 data centers globally located around the world. By the end of the calendar year, we expect to have 16. The average size of one of these data centers is between 100,000 and 250,000 physical servers. That's one data center, times 10 and growing. We're actually growing as a cloud provider at a rate that's faster than any other cloud provider in the industry right now in adding resources into these data centers. It's one of the values that you have. If you're working in a geo-distributed environment where you have several locations across the U.S. or even across the world, is what could you do to empower the rapid delivery of solutions in your environment if you had the ability to leverage a nearly unlimited supply of compute resources globally? That's the power of Azure. So we'll select East US as the area, the data center region that we'd like to provision our new VM up in. But we could have easily selected Eastern Asia or Europe if our dev teams were located in those areas instead. We can also specify a storage account that we wish to have our new VM provisioned on, and a set of firewall endpoints that we wish to open up from the public internet. So this is a Windows-based VM running Visual Studio and tools. So by default, it opens up remote desktop and remote PowerShell support, but we can open up additional ports as needed. We could also take this VM and not open any ports from the public internet. Instead, place it on a secure virtual network and allow only secure VPN access into that virtual network where those VMs are located. So you have your choice. You can customize your firewall endpoints and specify additional, or you can just delete them if you're going to be doing everything through VPN access instead. I'll click Next. And now I get some additional capabilities for increased manageability. So remember a little earlier I talked about PowerShell as one of the opportunities for automating or managing the configuration, but we're not about Windows platform management and automation only. We have a VM agent that has support for Puppet and Chef as common third-party automation and configuration management tools, where you can check those boxes and plug the necessary agents directly into that VM. Or if you're doing your own custom management tools, you can add a custom script extension in. And from a security standpoint, we've also recently announced that we will be offering the Microsoft anti-malware service to Azure VMs as an option as well, as a security extension. So if you're concerned about having these VMs running out on the internet and you don't want to have to manage anti-malware security on them, you can leverage these built-in custom extensions to add those pieces in. For now, I'll leave all of those unchecked, and I'll click the checkmark button to begin provisioning that new virtual machine. And you'll see that right away, all on demand, it starts up, starts provisioning. So that's the manual process. As I mentioned, we can also go through automating all of this. We've got Azure Automation built in to the platform. Azure Automation allows us to build out an automation account. And then if we go over to our runbooks area, it allows us to set up a base set of common runbooks that are used to automate and manage our cloud resources for provisioning whole sets of VMs, stopping and starting VMs so you don't need to have them running maybe outside of the business day where no one's accessing them to reduce some of your compute charges. And then once those runbooks are defined, you can drill into any of those runbooks and using the schedule tab, link them to a schedule, or have them run in response to another trigger. Maybe you have some other scripts that you want to have these runbooks triggered from. So a lot of flexibility, and the great thing about Azure Automation, it's provided as a platform service. You don't have to worry about installing any of the base infrastructural components, and it auto-scales to support the number of runbooks in the automation tasks that you're running concurrently that you need. So now let's go back to our virtual machines here, and we'll see that our virtual machine is probably almost ready. It's starting up. While we're waiting for that virtual machine to finish, though, let me go ahead and switch over to this other virtual machine that I previously provisioned, just so we can take a look at what we have as a dev environment now for the couple minutes that we spent provisioning that VM. So I'm going to click on that VM, and down in my bottom toolbar, I'll click the Connect button. And when I do that, Azure will open up a remote desktop connection to the desktop of that VM. I'll just give it a moment for it to come up. And as you look across the various shortcuts that are installed on the desktop, you get a real appreciation for what you just built in 2 minutes. You have not just a machine that's running Windows and Visual Studio, you see. You have a machine that's running SharePoint and SQL and a variety of different developer toolkits and SDKs all made available through that base platform image. Or, as I mentioned, you can create and leverage your own custom images. And if I jump into Visual Studio, we'll see that Visual Studio, from a source control standpoint, can be directly integrated into Visual Studio Online. So over in my right panel, you'll see I have a connection to visualstudio.com, indicating that I'm using a source control repository through Visual Studio Online. You can think of, if you're familiar with our on-premises solution for source control, Visual Studio Team Foundation Server, Visual Studio Online is sort of like a TFS running up in the cloud, where you don't have to provision and manage the TFS infrastructure. And I can have a number of projects. As I build a new project, let's go to File, New Project here, I can select from a variety of templates. Again, not just Microsoft templates for building Windows applications, but web and cloud and mobile device and whatnot. Just to keep things simple, I'll select a .NET application for an ASP.NET template. And I'll use MVC as my template, as the framework for my application. And I'll just make it really simple. I'll make it unauthenticated. So I'll change my authentication to no authentication. And when I click OK, it'll spend a couple minutes adding all of the knowledge from that template into Visual Studio so that I can start working on that new application and at the same time easily connect it up to my source control repository for checking in and checking out changes. I also have the ability to take this base application and as I make changes to it, just publish it to my own ad hoc test environment up on Azure, right on the fly. So, for instance, we've got our new application built. Obviously, this is just from a template. If I was a developer building this application, this is the part where I insert code here type of thing. And when I'm ready to test that, right from within Visual Studio, I can use my build menu to publish this application to a new Azure website within my dev and test subscription that I have access to. So I can go out to on my publish web dialog, select import. I'm already signed in to my Azure subscription. I click new. I enter a new website name. It'll give me a temporary Azure websites.net DNS name that I can use to access that for testing. So I can expose this test environment to others within my development team very easily. I select my subscription that I have access to. So I'll select my lab subscription. And if I wanted to have a backend database server, a SQL database backend provision for my website for storing data, I could just specify either SQL or MySQL, specify a database username and password. So I'll go ahead and click Create. And it'll begin creating that new website for me without even know anything about Azure. And when I'm done, I'll get a URL that I can use and expose to my other test users and my own team for testing the application, providing feedback. Now, I'm going to go ahead and click OK. And we'll say Publish. And it'll begin that publishing activity. On the File menu, and it looks like it published it, so it switched me over to my browser. I was expecting it to take a little longer. Well, it looks like all the files aren't there quite yet, so we'll come back to that in a moment. On the File menu for my application, I also have the ability to then take my initial application and add that to Source Control. So when I add that to Source Control, it's going to add that in to Visual Studio Online. It's going to check that in. So that other developers that are working on my team, they can check it out, they can make changes, they can check in new versions and whatnot. In fact, I can interact with Visual Studio Online right through Visual Studio as a developer or as an IT pro or a development team manager on the team. I can also go out to my Azure portal. I'll just wait for my screen to refresh here for a moment. And right from my Azure portal, I can scroll down and access Visual Studio Online as well through a web browser interface. So if I go over to Visual Studio Online, I can click the link for my Visual Studio Online subscription, and that'll open up a new page to Visual Studio Online where I'll see all of the projects that are currently part of my repository with checked-in code. And I can drill into one of those projects. I'll click on Project Z and step through the process for the various solutions that are part of that project of being able to, across the top, work on code, work on backlog items, build and deploy new versions, do structured testing of my application. So it's all integrated into the web portal. Or if I go back a page, I also have from this same area the ability to access Application Insights through Visual Studio Online. Application Insights gives me the ability to embed inside my application a system center management agent that Visual Studio Online and Application Insights will use to pull out the key performance metrics, application execution metrics, the concurrent use and user profile information across all stages of that application. So once the cool thing is with Application Insights, regardless if my application is moving across dev and test or into another subscription where it's being deployed for production users or whatnot, I can follow those same consistent metrics through the entire life cycle and be able to look at availability or performance or usage or diagnostics information. So we've talked a little bit about the kind of the dev and test aspects of managing applications through the Azure platform in a way that helps to accelerate DevOps. If we go back over to our Azure portal where we had been publishing our web apps and whatnot, we can also take advantage right through the Azure platform the ability to scale and interact with these applications through several release cycles. For instance, in my web app that I've deployed, if I find that as it moves into production, I would need to maybe scale that up, I can first go over to my scale tab. And on my scale tab, I can move my web application from a free plan where it's using shared resources and doesn't have the ability to have a custom DNS domain name. I can move that up to standard where I can be more specific about the compute and memory resources that I'm allocating. When I move it up to standard, I can also specify a size for my web application instance that's running my web app, whether it's small or medium or large, to vary the number of cores and the amount of memory that I'm giving it. But if I go ahead and save this, in addition to all that, when I'm on standard, I also have the ability to set up auto-scaling. So you'll see on my scale tab for my web application, set up schedule times. So I'll go ahead and click set up schedule times. It allows me to define different recurring schedules where I may want to have different levels of resourcing available, maybe for day and night versus weekdays and weekends. Go ahead and save that base schedule. And then for that schedule, for each of the schedules that I've just defined, weekday versus weeknight versus weekend, I can specify the scale based on utilization. So I can say, well, during the weekday, start at one instance, but scale up to a maximum of 10 instances. And determine your scaling up based on target CPU. So if it's my application hits consistently 80% or more in utilization across an averaged period of time, automatically scale up instance by instance to a maximum of 10. If it hits under 60% utilization, begin scaling down by an instance at a time. So it gives you the ability to adapt the application as it's going through different release cycles, different portions of that release cycle automatically to the amount of utilization it's receiving and scale up or scale down on demand. In addition, one of the other cool things, I'll go ahead and go over to my dashboard page for my web app. One of the other cool things that we have on our dashboard is the ability to set up deployment slots. So deployment slots allow me to build separate slots for my web application for things like dev and test versus UAT, user acceptance testing, versus pilot or production slots, for instance, and be able to quickly switch back and forth between those slots as part of my cloud-enabled release management strategy. So all it requires is for me to add a new deployment slot. So I'll go ahead and add a new deployment slot, and we'll call this my UAT slot, for instance, for user acceptance testing. And now what I can do is I can wire up that UAT slot for continuous deployment from my source control repository so that as my development teams go through development of their application, basic testing, they check in their code into source control on Visual Studio Online, I can have it automatically take that checked in code and deploy to UAT for user acceptance testing. And then, once my user acceptance testing is complete, I can have another slot for production applications that I swapped from UAT to production on. So I've got some great capabilities. So I've got my new UAT slot created, and as I expand out my website, you'll see that new slot. And what it does is it takes your base DNS name and gives the same DNS name with a dash UAT after it for accessing that particular slot. Now if I drill into that slot, instead of going into my main deployment slot, right on my main page I've got the ability to set up deployment from source control for automatic continuous deployment to UAT. When I click the link to set that up, I get prompted for the type of source control repository I wish to use, whether it's Visual Studio Online, a Git or a GitHub repository, a Dropbox repository, you can even use an FTP site. So I've got a lot of choices. I'll select Visual Studio Online, click the next button, and it'll ask me to authorize with my Visual Studio Online subscription. I could have more than one. And then it'll show me a list of the projects in Visual Studio Online that I wish to integrate for continuous deployment into this slot. So if I go specify the name of my Visual Studio Online subscription, click Authorize Now, it'll go ahead and authorize and accept, allow me to accept my request, and then specify the project from Visual Studio Online that I wish to enable for continuous deployment into this slot. Once that's set up, I've got a pretty easy workflow now. I've got my dev environments that I spun up in a couple minutes. They're connected through Visual Studio to Visual Studio Online for source code check-in, check-out. Visual Studio Online is now set to auto-deploy to my UAT environment on check-in. And then once I've gone through user acceptance testing, down at the bottom here I have a swap button that allows me to swap between any of my slots. So I could easily take UAT and swap it to production to roll forward, or I could swap production and UAT back to roll backwards, for instance. So I've got some great features for being able to very easily do release management for rolling forward or back. Okay, so in a small amount of time, we've kind of gone through a whirlwind tour of some of the features of Microsoft Azure and Visual Studio Online that can help to accelerate your progression towards a DevOps methodology or framework within your organization. But there's lots more. And our team, beginning last week, over the next coming weeks into May and June, is actually authoring an entire series of blog articles on accelerating DevOps with the cloud that I'd encourage you to visit for much more detail around DevOps and Azure and Visual Studio Online. We also have a pre-recorded DevOps Jumpstart course on Microsoft Virtual Academy. It's completely free. It was done by our worldwide DevOps team, and it's a great resource that you can sign up for to learn more about DevOps all up, not just about Azure and DevOps, but DevOps all up. And certainly my blog, from a personal standpoint, DevOps and Azure is an area that I'm personally interested in, so you'll see a lot of great articles out on my blog as well. The other great news is that in getting started with working with Azure and a little bit more, we've got some great opportunities. If you or others that you know are part of a software startup organization where you're building software applications, regardless of what platform you're building them on, whether it's Linux or Windows or Oracle or iOS or Android or Java or who knows what, we've got a great program called BizSpark that helps to provide you with resources to incubate and grow your business with no strings attached. In order to qualify, you do need to be a software startup that's less than 5 years old and generates less than $1 million in revenue. We're trying to help incubate and grow small startup organizations, but what we provide when you enroll is free access to Azure for 3 years, a benefit of almost $5,400 in Azure cloud services over 3 years. And as you release your applications to your customer base, you can apply for another $60,000 in Azure cloud services to help you scale. So if you're a software startup and you're not currently enrolled in BizSpark, you're leaving potentially as much as $65,000 or more on the table. So definitely, definitely investigate BizSpark using the links that I've got on the bottom of the page. If you're in the U.S., that link will help you get signed up for BizSpark in an accelerated manner. If you're not working for a software startup, though, we still have some great news, because we also have an Azure free trial subscription program that gives you $200 of cloud credit to play with for up to 30 days for doing things like building a sample dev test environment, working with Azure Storage, working with Azure web applications or cloud services. And you can go out to Azure, Microsoft Azure free trial using the link that I have at the bottom of the slide for more details. And then certainly if you're an IT professional, or if you have a team of IT pros that also manage on-premises virtualization and cloud solutions, we also have a great opportunity for them to get trained and certified for free on Windows Server, Hyper-V, and System Center using our EarlyExperts.net program. And at the same time, if they're based in the U.S., a great opportunity to win some cool prizes, Surface 2, Windows to Go USB sticks, certification exam vouchers. They can just go out to earlyexperts.net to register and get started for free. So having said that, that brings us to the end of our presentation. I just wanted to switch back over to John to see if there was any questions that had come in as we were chatting over the last hour.
Thanks, Keith. So I think we're just about at the top of the hour here, so we have time maybe for one or two questions. The first one is, a few folks were asking about cost. So any thoughts on how folks can best plan or estimate the cost of Azure as they use these various services?
That's a great question, because regardless of how cool these features are, if they cost too much, they won't be practical in an organization. So what we've done to help make the cost planning process super easy is right up at the top of the Azure portal, we've got a pricing calculator that allows you to play all kinds of what-if games based on the resources that you would foresee needing to host your dev and test environments on Azure, or even production applications on Azure. So if I just drill into that pricing page, it'll navigate over to our pricing calculator, and you'll see it's organized based on virtual machines or websites or cloud services or data management. But over on the right, you also have a full calculator you can drive into if you see that perhaps you may need a composite collection of several different services as part of your dev and test environment. So Pricing Calculator is a great place to start for doing those planning, those cost planning exercises.
Great, thanks. And our last question, how do you think apps that are 100% PaaS will change in the world of DevOps?
It's a great question. So apps that are 100% built using platform as a service are going to give much stronger agility to development teams and IT professional teams as well, because a lot of the components that we struggle with when we're deploying solutions around scalability and heavy testing of large user bases to ensure code stability, those pieces have already been done for our platform as a service components. And so rather than struggling through release cycles with the reliability and scalability and performance aspects of how that application's responding, PaaS allows developers, as we talked about a little earlier in the presentation, to really focus on the key business logic of their applications and even compartmentalize that business logic into various web and worker roles that are exposing different components of the application or the APIs that they're developing. So it allows development teams and operations teams to be much quicker through those release cycles by looking at an application from the viewpoint, or a solution from the viewpoint of being composed of several different pre-tested components, pre-baked components, rather than looking at it as hundreds of thousands of lines of code that have to be tested when we roll out this application. So those are some of the ways that I see that that change going forward. It's a moving more towards PaaS is going to give you a lot more alignment, opportunities for alignment with a faster and faster DevOps cycles.
Great. Well, Keith, thanks so much for leading the session today, and a big thank you to everyone in the audience. Really glad you could tune in. As I said, we'll be sure to pass along a recording of this webinar and the slides for your future reference. So thanks again, and have a great day.